Come on, let's put our hands together for God and everything he's done this week in our lives. Come on. You can do it. Come on, keep going. Come on. It's God. It's God, okay? It's God. It's okay to clap, get excited. You're in the presence of God. When you come in here, you're meeting with God. You know that, right? He's here. He says, where two or more are gathered, I'm in the midst. So we have to be excited about that. We have to be glad that we're in the presence of God. And I'm so excited to be here today because I get to speak about one of our core values. And it's one that I love. I love speaking about the future. I love thinking about the future. I love what the future has to hold because I'm a Christian and I know God loves me. And I know he's got amazing things for me and my family. So I'm excited about that. And I'm going to speak today about the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. A lot of us have been through a lot of things in our lives, but I'm here to tell you today that God has the best yet to come for us. And that's one of our seven core values. But before we can dive into the best is yet to come, we have to know where we came from, right? We have to know what we went through. We have to know what the past, how that influences our present and our future. But before we do, let's bow our heads in prayer. To Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for watching over our families. We thank you for our health, our jobs, our finances, our spouses, our kids. We're thankful for the word of God that we get to open every day and just learn more about you and look at your blessings and look at your miracles and for the relationship that we have with you, that at any time, at any moment, no matter what we're going through, we can reach out to you and say, help, or thank you, or Father, I need you. And you are always there. Lord, we thank you for that relationship because it's like no other. You're faithful, you're truthful, and you want nothing but the best for us. So we thank you for that today. We're full of thankfulness in our hearts, God, and we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for God again. Come on. Have you guys ever had this experience? You were younger. Some of you probably younger than others, but I'll say myself, 15, 16 years old, where you had to break up with someone. You had a relationship at that young age where you were dating someone. Maybe you didn't even know you were dating them, but like she was looking at you like you were dating and you kind of knew something was there. There was something in the middle. And you started dating this person when you were younger and it just wasn't working out. And you're like, man, like she's a good person. You know what I mean? Good personality. Yeah, we know what that means. It's over. And you have to break up with this person, right? And you're like, well, I'm 16 years old. I never broke up with anybody before. I don't know how to do it. Like, and kids, where are the kids at? Any kids in here? Don't break up over text. Come on. I'm going to call you out on that right now. Like, especially if you're a man, you better have that conversation face to face. Be a man. Step up. Ladies, help us guys out. We don't know what you're thinking. I promise you, even at 43, I still don't know what my wife is thinking. All she looks at me and I'm like, oh, she really loves me. She's smiling. She's like, I'm going shopping tomorrow. I'm so excited. So we don't know what you're thinking, okay? We don't. But sometimes you have to break up with someone, or maybe you're going through it right now as an adult, and you're like, man, my stomach has knots in it, and I know I got to have this conversation, and I know it's going to hurt this person, and it's uncomfortable, right? And we don't want to do it. But then when we finally have that conversation, we're like, hey, it's not working out. Well, why? It just ain't. I'm not going to go through all that and drug all these different things. No, it's not working out. I'm sorry. I thought it would work out. And you go through that little bit of pain. And then when you're done, what? You're like, oh, I'm free again. No, I'm just kidding. But it's true, right? You have relief from it. You feel better. You know you did the right thing. You were honest with that person. You had that conversation. And you were able to move past that and on to different things. I didn't say other people, I said different things. Let some space in between these relationships, people. Am I speaking to anybody today? Don't serial date. Take a break, get some healing in there, and then start dating again. I don't even know where that came from. But today's message, I want to talk about three things, and the first one is breaking up with your past. Breaking up with your past. If you're taking notes, write that one down. Because I feel like so many of us, the same when we were 15, 16, 17, and we had a breakup with someone, sometimes we prolonged it, didn't we? We're like, well, you know, she seems like she's in a really good mood. I don't want to do it today because it's going to spoil everything. Or have you ever done this? You broke up with someone, and then they started crying. If it was a dude, I'm sorry. They shouldn't be crying. But You break up with them and they start to cry, and then you're like, no, it's okay. And then you end up back in a relationship. You don't even know how it happened. You're like, I'm so sorry, it's okay. And you start, oh, crap, did I just revert back to everything that I was doing? Oh, man, I'm back in this relationship again, ain't I? She's like, hey, you were just confused. It's okay, I love you too. And you're like, you got to go through it again. And we fall back into the past. And I feel like we do that so many times in our relationship with God, where maybe God is telling us to do something, or God is moving us to a certain area of our lives, and we say, okay, yeah, God, I understand it. And then we revert right back to where we came from weeks later. And we don't walk out God's calling on our lives. And so often, the past can haunt us. How many of you know that, right? Some of us are dealing with some stuff right now where it could have been 15 years ago. It could have been 5 years. It could have been on the way to church, where you did something that you're regretful for. You've sinned. You did something. You're like, I cannot believe I did that. And as we keep looking back at the past, these labels start to attach themselves to our souls, right? I shouldn't have done that 10 years ago. I know I shouldn't have done that. And that's who I am now. And we start to attach these labels to ourselves and say, this is who I am. This is what I did. And we keep looking back at the past and we're not able to focus on the present. And we live under these, I should have done this, I shouldn't have done this, and I can't believe I did this. I can't believe that person hurt me the way they hurt me. They said they would never do that to me, and they did. And we start to live in regret and keep looking at the past. And sometimes, you guys know these ones that, maybe it's the one that's just always stuck with you your whole life. The one thing you've always struggled with that you can never get over. And you're doing so good. You're in your relationship with God. You're like, man, I'm on fire for God. I'm meeting with God. I'm talking to him every day. I'm on cloud nine. You guys have those, right? You're up here, and then sometimes it's like, man, what happened? And then you're kind of doing this a little bit. And sometimes you feel like you're hearing a lot from God, and other days you're like, God, I'm talking, or I'm not hearing you back. Like, what's going on? And I feel like we have that in our own lives. These things that we're doing so good, and then they rear up their ugly head, and they say, hey, I know who you are. I remember what you did last year when you're on vacation. I remember what you looked at. I remember who you hurt. That's who you are. You're not this other person. Don't try to act like you're a Christian now. I know who you are, and they rear their ugly heads, or maybe you're fighting it every day. It could be an addiction. It could be anything that you're struggling through every single day, and they just keep attacking us. They keep holding us away from the present where God wants us in our future and what God is calling us to do. But we know the truth, right? We're Christians. Maybe you're not a Christian, but you know what's right and you know what's wrong. Even the world knows what's right and wrong, right? They know not to cheat on your spouse. The world knows that. They know to be kind to other people. The world knows that. So do we as Christians. But yet, the enemy baits us, and we just take it bite by bite. And then we just go deeper and deeper and deeper into these labels and these things that have been attached to our hearts and our souls. And maybe sometimes in our past and in our present, we start to change some of the labels, rename them, if you will. And maybe you say, well, I got rejected, so I don't like that. I'm not gonna say I'm rejected. I'm gonna say I'm independent. Yeah, I'm an independent person now. I'm never gonna let anybody hurt me again. You can put whatever label you want on it. The same thing's underneath, amen? The same scar, the same hurt is still there. Or maybe you say, I'm ashamed of what I did in the past, or I'm ashamed of how this was handled. And instead of being ashamed, I'm tired of being ashamed. I'm going to be proud of who I am. I'm not going to show anybody any weakness. I'm not going to be accountable to anybody. I'm not going to get in an E group because then I have to talk about things going on in my life, and these guys might hold me accountable. So I'm going to become proud. I'm going to become independent. When underneath, the same thing's there. The same heart and problems are there. They're longing for freedom. They're longing for help. They're longing for the Holy Spirit to come in and heal it. And sometimes we rename some of these labels, but it's the same meaning. It's the same hurt. And we have to understand how to get rid of that. Some people say, oh, it's never good to look back at the past. And I understand where they're coming from. But as Christians, I want to look back at the past because here's what I can see. I used to be there, and I ain't there no more. Amen. I'm here. and Jesus took me from there to here, that's a win. Amen. I'm not where I want to be right now, but that's okay. I'm not there. Amen. If I acted the way I was when I was 21 now, my wife would kill me, number one, but it just wouldn't be good for anybody, right? How many can agree? The stuff that you have learned and walked through and changed in your life that the Holy Spirit and God has said, hey, I'm going to pull you out of this, and what? You've grown, matured. You're no longer acting like a child. You're no longer acting immature. And I'm here to tell you today that God is the only thing that can change those labels. God's labels, they're permanent. It's like one of those permanent markers. He writes it on your heart. So this is who you are now. You're not these other things. And I love this. Philippians 1:6 says this, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? Well, if I'm a Christian, he began a new work in me, correct? I no longer belong to the world. I no longer have anything to do with that because I'm a new creation in Christ. So there, I have a fresh start. I can move forward. I don't need to look back to the past. The voices that we should be listening to are ones that are full of hope and love and forgiveness and grace and mercy, not condemnation, not ashamed of what I did, not pulling me back instead of pushing me forward into what God is calling me. The voice we should be listening to is saying, remember you're forgiven. Remember you're set free. Remember you have purpose in this world. Remember, and this is the biggest one, you're mine. He says, you are mine. You no longer belong to the world. Satan no longer has control over your life. That temptation, you're new. You're a new creation in me. And I'm sorry, but sin and God don't mix, if you haven't noticed. He is a holy, perfect God. In Hebrews, it says this, that once you ask for forgiveness of sin, he can no longer remember it. That's powerful. So the thing you're praying about that happened 5 years ago and still asking for forgiveness for, God's going, what are you talking about? I forgave something 5 years ago, but I'm holy, I'm perfect, I don't lie, and my word says I can't remember your sin any longer. You're forgiven. It's over. It's done. I'm not saying there's not going to be challenges and earthly consequences. There are, and we have to live with those, but we don't let it haunt us. We don't live in the past. And I'm excited about that. Write this down if you're taking notes. God's plans will always be greater and more beautiful than all of your disappointments. No matter what you've done, every single time you've messed up, his plans are bigger than all of that. God's plans will always be greater and more beautiful than all of your disappointments. Isaiah 43:1 says this, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. When he redeemed you, he took you out of the world. He snatched you out. You said, God, I want you in my heart. I don't even know what that means, but I know I need a change. And you got saved. He snatched you out of that and he redeemed you. He said, you no longer belong to them. You're mine now. And he said, and I have called you by name. He doesn't say, hey, somebody in a merch church. He doesn't say, hey, someone in the Tompkins family. He doesn't say someone in such and such. He says, I have called you by name and you are mine. I have an intimate relationship with you and I know who you are. I know everything about you because I'm your heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and behold, the new has come. That just means you're no longer looking to the past in the dark, in the labels, but you're looking to the present and the future where God says, it is good. I have plans for you. Breaking up the past doesn't mean that you ignore it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt and it's not painful. Leaving the past behind and being redeemed means before there was a cut, before it was a wound, and now that I've been redeemed, I have a scar. It's been healed. And I'm okay with reaching up and going, hey, I've been cut and there's a scar there and I remember why and I'm going to be a little bit smarter next time, right? It's good to learn from our past. I'm not going to put myself in that situation, but this scar, it tells me that I've been redeemed. It tells me I'm no longer in the past. It tells me I've been healed and that God is my redeemer and that I no longer am hurt. I'm no longer depressed about it. I'm no longer living in fear about the things that I've done because God is my God and I've been healed. I don't know if you guys know who Joyce Myers is. If you do, awesome. If you don't, look it up. But she has a book called Battlefield of the Minds. And I'm telling you, if you're struggling with something and it's just been maybe sticking to you for a long time or your whole life, or it's just something that's really got a grip on you, obviously get in the Word of God. Nothing can heal you like the Word of God can. But I love putting practical steps to stuff too, okay? And her book will, it'll wreck you in a good way. I was on a spiritual high, I read her book, and I'm like, man, I'm a hot mess. I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh, I didn't know what's going on. But sometimes you need that, right? You need godly counsel. You need friends. You need an e-group. You need a pastor that will sit with you and say, yeah, that's terrible. I can't believe that happened. But if you wouldn't have gone through that, how would you ever help anybody else? I can't tell you the things that God has taken me through. And going through it, you're like, I'm a Christian. I thought this was supposed to be like just floating on air. He said something about wings and eagles. I thought I was supposed to be up there. And it's not feeling like it right now. And God's saying, no, no, no. The thing I have for you down the road, if you don't go through this, you don't know how to handle this. So I need you to go through this, but trust me. Trust me that I'm doing it for your good, not to hurt you. I love you too much to hurt you. And I'm doing it for you. I just want you guys to know that there's so much more on the other side of your past. And it's the present. And then it's the future. And so much of that can get changed if we just hold on to the past. And I don't want you guys to lose out to that because Satan wins when that happens. When he holds you back, he's like, they're not fulfilling the call of God on their life. I got them. Another day. That's all I need. I'll just get them day by day. And I love how God says that. My mercies are new every day. I love waking up in the morning. And I'm like, clean slate. How am I going to screw it up today? No, I don't say that. I don't say that. I say clean slate. All right, God, what do you got for me today? Because he's got something for you right now, but he also has something for you in the future. I'm excited about that. But we have to fully embrace today. So I'm asking you guys today, you have to make a choice. Everything comes back to choices. Jesus, when he did stuff on the earth, what? Someone had to take a step, right? He didn't just walk up and say, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, right? Somebody came to him that was bleeding. Somebody brought somebody to him. You have to take an action step. And here's your action step today. If something's been haunting you from the past, a label's been put on you, break up with your past. Amen. Say no longer. When that voice starts to get in your head and it's Satan, I'm telling you right now, the spiritual realm, that those things that you hear that aren't from God, who do you think it is? It's not just, oh, it's just there. Like the enemy is trying to attack you. And the Bible says, take that and submit it to the feet of Jesus immediately. So that thought enters your mind to look at another person when you're married. Take that thought, give it to Jesus. When you're struggling with an addiction and you want another drink, take that thought, give it to Jesus. Don't let it keep growing. And I really believe this in my heart. Jesus is in heaven going, man, he's crushing that thing and saying, not today. I'll fight again tomorrow, but not today. He gave it to me. I'm going to take that pressure off him. And then it says what? I will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Right? Give it to God because you can't win. You've been trying for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You haven't won yet. So let's give it to God. Let's let him crush it out of our lives. Don't let it dictate our future, our present. Choose to move forward and to live in freedom because that's the only way to truly live. And now once you find that freedom, once you find that God's labels are attached to my life instead of these old labels, we can move forward. And number two, we can seek God in the present. Because you can't seek God in the present if you're still living in your past, right? It's very hard to do that. In Matthew 6, it says, don't be anxious for anything because your heavenly Father in heaven knows exactly what you need. And I would like to add this, when you need it. I feel like a lot of people, it's like, I know he knows what I need, but does he know I need it right now? Like, I need the lottery winnings right now. It's $224 million. I need it, Jesus. I know you probably want it, and like when it's like around the $23 million, but I really need you to come through. But he says, I know what you need. Trust me. And then verse 33 through 34 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So if you seek me first, I'll give you the desires of your heart. I have so many things that I want to give you, you couldn't even understand it. And he says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has trouble in its own. How many of you, it's easy to worry about tomorrow, about next week? I got this, I got this, I got this. And you have to check yourself and go, well, do I trust God? Or am I going to let worry step in and come from the past and let me stress about it? Or am I going to say, hey, I can only do what I can do. I can only handle today. Tomorrow, what if Jesus comes back tonight? Tomorrow ain't even here and you're worried about it. Or you're worried about the past going, I can't believe I did this. You can't change it. Try it. Go ahead, Joe. Try it. Change the past. You can't do it. So why are we focused on things we can't change or we don't have control over? Let it go. Let it go. So Paul, what am I supposed to do in the present then? We're talking about today. What am I supposed to do? Actively choose to put God first in every area of your life. Every area. Not just my job. Not just my spouse. Not just kids. Not just fun. Every area of your life. Because when you do that, things change, right? God starts to bless things and move things and open doors and close doors. And you're like, I didn't even know that was possible. So actively choose to put him first in your life. And you're saying, well, how do I do that? Well, what do you do every day? You have a spouse? Actively put God first in that. Are you spending time with your spouse as Jesus spends time with us in an intimate setting? When's the last time you asked your spouse out on a date? Cricket, cricket, cricket. I was going to get a cricket and put it. No, I'm just kidding. When's the last time you got your kids together before they went to bed and prayed over them or had devotion with them or say, hey, guys, I'm so proud of you. I cannot believe how well you're doing in school and in sports. I'm telling you right now, that'll change the world because our world is a hot mess right now. And if you see what's going on in our schools, that's just proof. But if you put God first in your family, that's what it looks like. Well, how do I put God first in my job? Like, I do this for a living. A dentist friend of mine in Jacksonville, and we became friends. He was just my dentist. And I went in for an appointment. I said, hey, I'm here for an appointment. I just want a cleaning. Oh, we need to do x-rays. It's $480. I'm like, I just scrape my teeth and like fluoride some stuff and like a little flaw. I'm out. 20 minutes. Come on. Well, we need to do x-rays. We need to do this and that. And I'm like it's not bad enough already being there. And there's always something wrong. Like, if I would have went to the dentist the day before, everything was fine. Then you go to the new dentist, and they're like, oh, I possible filling here. I'm like, cha-ching, there we go. So I go in to meet with this dentist, and I'm just there to get my x-rays and get my insurance and leave, and then they set you up for an appointment. Like, I wish they could see you all at one time, but they can't. So as I'm sitting in the room, I'm filling out my paperwork, and this guy comes out, and he sits down. He says, I'm Dr. Bowles. How are you? I'm like, I'm good. I'm just here for x-rays. Ain't nothing wrong. Did they tell you something? I haven't even had the x-rays yet. How do you know what's going on? And he said, hey, man, I just wanted to meet you. What's your name? Are you married? Do you have kids? And I'm like, well, personal, bro. Back up a little bit. So we just have a conversation. I'm like, man, this guy understands customer service. There ain't none of that in the world. Call DirecTV, call AT&T, call Verizon. And you might not even talk to somebody in this country. And I'm like, he gets customer service. His business is going to thrive. Gets it. But he meets with every patient. Every new patient, he comes out. And within 3 minutes, I'm like, don't you got like something to go do? He says, hey, man, like, where do you and your spouse go to church? I'm like, I'm looking for a church right now. Is that right? He says, hey, man, I go to church right around the corner. And I'd love for you to come. He's like, there's an amazing pastor there. Do you have kids? I'm like, yeah, but he's part of Satan, I think. He's running around crazy somewhere. I don't even know where he's at right now. He said, well, man, they got a great kids program. Dude, their worship band, it's like a concert, man. You just come and hang out. And I'm like, cool. Man, a concert on Sundays? He said, they got a 9:30 and 11:30. I was like, well, I can do 11:30. That 9:30 ain't happening. I can do 11:30. But he was using his job to draw people to Christ. His whole plan was to treat me nicely, just as God treats us, but also to invite me to church. He said, I'll meet you for breakfast, or I can meet you at the front doors. Paul, my office is 2 blocks away. Meet me here. I'll drive over with you so you don't feel like you're by yourself. That's how you put God first in your business. Well, I want to be a better boss. Take your guys to lunch. Take ladies in your office to lunch. If you're the boss, don't do it because you have something to talk to them about or they've done something. They know that meeting. Let's go to lunch. We need to talk. Oh, man. Are you paying? Because if I'm going to get in trouble, I might as well get paid. Right? Right? Take them to lunch because you love them. And, hey, guys, thank you so much for what you're doing for our company and the way you represent our company and the way. But what happens? They start to see Jesus in that. They start to see you. Why are you so nice to everybody? Well, Jesus was nice to me. Jesus forgave all my sins, and he showed me a better way. Can I show you who this Jesus is? Do you want to come to church with me? You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary to do something great for God. God is saying, I need you to do something right now in this moment for me. Here's what it is. Put me first in every single area of your life. And he will radically change how you perceive things and how you handle things. God's word advises us to use our time wisely because he knows there's so many distractions out there. There's so many things that can turn our head, right? I think of that squirrel thing, you know, like, ooh, nut, oh, and he's off the path. He was supposed to go do this, and he sees something, he's gone. But that's how we are, right? Facebook, Twitter, TV, movies, Netflix, that's of Satan. You could sit there and watch episode, and they start automatically now. Like, you don't even have to play for the next one. 10 seconds, counting down. I'm like, but there's so many distractions in this world. Your job can be a distraction, guys, ladies. I was not placed on this earth to have a job that distracts me. I was put on this earth to have a job where I can influence people for Jesus Christ, right? My wife wasn't given to me for me just to do whatever I want and be selfish. My job was to serve her, to treat her fairly, to treat her nice, to do nice things for her. My son, same thing. God has given us things, and we're supposed to steward it well. Proverbs 16:9 says this, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. You better have a plan, whether it's for the future, whether it's for next week. You better have a plan. You own a business. What do? You create a business plan, right? You don't just go in and say, I'm going to start a business tomorrow. I'm such and such painting. I wonder why my phone's not ringing. You better have a plan. And Jesus said, you could create your plan, but I want to orchestrate your steps. So while you're creating that plan, listen to me as I'm talking. Listen to me as I'm shifting and moving you. We want to have a building here at Emerge Church. So I need you to have a plan of, let's do this with your finances. Let's start looking for a building. But wait a minute, let's pray about, when do you want us to have the building? God, what location do you want us to have the building? You see the difference? Create your plans, but be smart enough to be still and listen to let God orchestrate your steps. Let him move you where he wants you. Because I can go buy a $10 million building, and if it's in the worst location, God didn't tell me to do it, it's going to fail, right? Or God can give you a $10 million building for free in the perfect location, exactly where he wanted because you were listening to his steps. He is a God of miracles. It's not because he just did it in the old times and it doesn't happen anymore. He performs miracles every single day. He is a God of miracles. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Underline that. Every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do you understand you could be dead tomorrow? Like, let's lay it on the table. It can happen. You could drive down the road, be in an accident, and I pray that nobody ever happens to that in here or anywhere, but it happens. But we're not promised tomorrow. God says, I need you to do something, and don't waste time. Time is precious. I need you to know the Lord's will. Well, Paul, I don't know what the Lord's will is for me. I went through a season of praying and praying and praying, and I didn't know what God's next step was for me. I said, God, I don't know what it is. I've been praying for like a year. What's my next thing? Like, this ended, It ended the way you want it to, God. Like, what's my next step? And God's like, be still and know that I'm God. I'm like, I've been for a year. What's next? Like, and I'm fired up and excited. I'm like, what's next? Like, I'm ready to go do something, God. Like, I feel like I'm sitting on the sidelines. I didn't know it was time for me to sit and mature and grow. And God's saying, be still and know that I am God. I'm like, okay. I said, okay, but God, what do you want me to do? And he's like, you keep asking that, I'm gonna slap you. He didn't slap me. He slapped me with this. He said, what did Jesus do when he walked the earth? Oh, yeah. He what? He served others. He helped others. He put others before himself. He said, listen, don't wait for me to tell you what to do. Start walking the way Jesus did on earth. And as you're walking, when I ordain and move those steps, you're going to walk right into my calling on your life. So he said, you do what Jesus did. And I'm here to tell you today, guys, if you have a question about, like, what am I supposed to do in this? What did Jesus do on the earth has always worked for me. Well, that's one thing. It's really bothering me. Oh, that's how Jesus handled it. Hey, listen, I'm sorry that this even happened. And it works every time. So if you have a question about something, go to the Bible. See how Jesus handled it. Because you know why? Jesus pleased God. He said, this is my beloved son who I'm well pleased. So if he pleased him, I want to please him. And if I follow him, it's got to lead me to the same road. So I'm excited about that. How many of you guys in here, and when I say guys, I always mean girls too, so jump in too, girls, but decided, hey, I'm gonna start working out. I'm gonna start getting fit, right? Come on, don't lie. I bet every single person here has said it at one point in their life, I'm gonna get fit, I'm gonna work out, blah, blah, blah. And for every person, it's probably a little different, right? For me, it's like, hey, I wanna go ahead and be able to run a 5K and eat healthy is fit for me. And for you, it might be, hey, like, you guys can't tell, but I'm going to put on 20 pounds. It's just solid muscle. And I'm just going to be a beef. It's summertime. I'm going to be able to take my shirt off. I'm married, but, you know. Come on. I'm talking to somebody in here. And somebody, maybe it's just, hey, I want to climb a flight of stairs and come back down and not have to catch my breath. That's fit. Well, there we go. There's all the amen. Hey! Why haven't you succeeded? Why aren't you doing it? Why 3 weeks later are you still sitting on the couch watching Netflix? Because we haven't planned for the future, right? We haven't truly planned. A lot of us, including myself, hey, I want to get fit. I want to win. And then we kind of stop there. Hey, I want to grow my business. And you don't really plan. You stop there. It's kind of more of an idea, a thought. And there's not a lot of planning put behind it. And that's sometimes why our plans don't succeed, because we haven't written them down. We haven't thought about them. What's the first thing that needs to happen if you're going to get fit? Get the crap out of your pantry, right? For me, double stuffed Oreos are like, I don't do drugs. I've never done drugs, but I always say they're like crack, because I've seen people on crack and they're crazy. And that's how I am. See, Reese is like me too. Double stuff, and I heard they have like triple stuff now, and like chocolate and vanilla mix. Like, wow. Come on, people, come on. Double stuff, they're bad enough. When we get to double stuff, it's like, so I go in there, and I'm going to confess something to you, Kelsey, right now. I went in there, I eat one, and you know they have that little peel back now, so they stay fresher. Like, let them stale up so I can throw them away. Don't keep them fresh for 30 days. I eat one, I close it back up. I'm like, that's right, I'm on that new fitness plan. So I walk out, I sit on the couch. I hear Kelsey go in the bedroom. I'm like, the door opens. I'm like, but thank you, Keith. I don't know where Keith Bennett's at. He gave me some WD-40 stuff. I sprayed on my hinges. Kelsey can't even hear when I open doors now. I oiled them all up. What are you doing? Nothing. Baby, this is for you so you can sleep in. Don't judge me. So I sure enough, I open the door. I'm like, I'm sinning or stealing or something. I don't know. I get another Oreo. I close it. I come back out. I jump on the couch. I'm like, she comes out, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Nothing. And I'm cleaning all of my teeth and stuff. Nothing. Chugging water. And I didn't clear out all the junk that was in my pantry. all the chips, all the chips. And what's the next step of working out? Come on. Anybody? Anybody else? Got to go to the gym, right? So you got to pay for a membership, or maybe you're just planning on walking. Well, then you need to set up a schedule. When am I going to do it? Am I going to do it 3 times a week? 4 times a week? 3 is really enough for me. I'm going to do 3 times a week. Or I'm going to climb the stairs twice a day until I can catch my breath. Whatever it looks like. But you have to set up a plan to succeed. Did you know, and this is a proven fact throughout the world, 92% of people succeed more if they just write it down. Just writing down what your goals are and objectives are, you have a 92% chance more of succeeding than somebody who doesn't write them down. Proven. I don't know about you, but I'm writing down everything. Kel's like, what are you doing? I'm like, hold on 1 second, write this down. I got a 92% chance. And my phone breaks, I'm in trouble. But you have a better chance to succeed when you plan. And you heard right there, plan what you're going to do in the future and let God step in and orchestrate the steps. I also want to encourage you guys, like, if God has put something on your heart, write it down. I got woken up about 15 years ago, probably 2 a.m, dead sleep, and God gave me a book of the Bible, a chapter and a verse. And I mean, it woke me up. I don't even know what it was. It wasn't like anybody talked to me. It was just in my thoughts. And I never wrote it down. And I woke up at like 7 a.m. I forgot what it was. And it kicks me in the butt every day. God, I need that back. Give it back to me. Write down what God is telling you to do in the present. If God is saying, I need you to do this, and maybe it's a seasonal thing. I need you to work on your marriage. Well, you don't know. Maybe your spouse is feeling neglected. Maybe it's, you never know. We're human. We don't know what each other think. But whatever God is telling you to do, write it down. Create a plan. I want to do this in my life. I want to do this with my business. I want to do this for the church. I want to do this for my group. Whatever it might be, write it down because you have a better chance of succeeding. Maybe it's just you want to be kinder. I want to be a better boss. I want to be a better employee. I find myself complaining about my bosses all the time, and that doesn't please God. Well, if you're putting God first in your life, in all areas, that will stop. And as you catch yourself doing it, it'll begin to cease and it'll begin to go down. But the more you tell people about what God's telling you to do, God has really placed on my heart to do this. Tell everybody. What's crazy? It was crazy to build an ark, okay? Tell everybody. So if God's placed something in your heart, tell people why. Because they'll hold you accountable, right? You don't see them for 2 weeks and I come into church, you're like, hey, so God told you to start that nonprofit over in Japan. How's it going? And you're like, really good. It's really moving along. There's still people in Japan, so I got time, right? They start to hold you accountable. Or you say, well, it's going well, but I'm hitting some stumbling blocks. I really need a good attorney to help me figure out the paperwork on this because I don't want to get in trouble legally. I know an attorney. And God starts to open doors up, right? I know a lot of us guys in here talk about our businesses and stuff, and it's like, oh, I know somebody for that. Here, let me help you with this. And it's another Christian person, or it's another, and we're blessing each other. And God begins to open doors that you never knew were open. And then when you start to tell other people about it and you're creating buzz about it, what? You start to believe it more, right? You start to go, yeah, I'm really going to do this thing, I think. I was just talking about it, but now that I'm talking about it more, God is growing it in my heart. And it's beginning to get some traction. So if you have something that God's put in your heart, tell people, write it down. Start taking some action step towards it. I just want to be a better parent. That's awesome. That Mother's Day thing you did. How do you want to be a better mother? I just want to quit slapping my kids and freaking out all the time. And the next mother, how do you think your kids think about you? They'd probably say, I'm always stressed out and I'm angry and the house is a mess. And these mothers just went on to tell what they thought the kids were thinking about them. And then they put the kids on. The kids are like, my mommy's the princess with yellow hair that flows, and she's the most amazing thing. And again, we're looking at the past, and we're looking at the way we used to do things, but if I just want to be a better mother, hey, I know I get stressed out around 3 p.m. when I'm exhausted, and this has happened, so maybe I just need to shift my schedule a little bit. Maybe I just need a plan to have a babysitter come in 3 hours a day just to help me out. Guys, it's just planning. It's just putting it down and saying, if my goal is to be a better this, then how can I plan to help that goal win? And putting some action steps behind it. So the third and final thing is, the best is yet to come, planning your future. The best is yet to come. When the Apostle Paul was in prison, he was going around in Jerusalem telling people about Jesus. Jesus is awesome. Jesus can save your life. Jesus this, Jesus this. And they snatched him up and they put him in prison. And he's in, you know, back in the day, man, they had shackles. It wasn't like you just go sit in some beautiful cell with AC, 3 meals a day. This is prison. So he's in there and he's in prison. And then some of the theologians think it was between 2 and 3 years that he was in prison. And do you not think in his thought process at any time, I wonder if I'm going to get killed here. Other Christians have been crucified and beheaded for speaking the name of Jesus. And I'm in prison. Like, is it today? Are they coming for me today? Is it over? Am I done? And as he's sitting there, and this is just my version of it right here. He's just sitting in prison after that long. And then Jesus says this to him. Jesus came to him in these words and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, where he currently was in prison, so I need you to bear witness in Rome. And I can see Paul like, Jesus speaks to him and then he goes, and probably all the inmates and, oh man, is that Jesus thing talking to you again? Is that God thing speaking to you again? And he's like, yep, I'm going to Rome. So I know there's a future for me. I know I'm not dying in here. They can beat me, they can flog me, they can do whatever they want, but I know because Jesus said he has a future for me and I need to go to Rome. So hey, guards, go ahead and take these off so I can get on my way. Jesus has some important things for me to do in Rome, right? So he's encouraged. He knows there's a future. He knows it's not the end. And I love how God just goes to him and tells him that in his moment of weakness, in his moment of, man, is it over for me? And one of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. And I know a lot of you guys know it. And it's widely known throughout church. But I want to show you something in it maybe that you don't know or you haven't seen or maybe you haven't thought about it that way. And it says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Underline think, circle think, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. And I think a lot of us, a future and a hope, we get excited. We all think about our future. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to have a boat one day. If my wife ever says yes, I'm going to have a nice hat. Yeah, we all want a great future for ourselves, our families, our friends. We all do. It's just natural. But he says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. I want to focus on that part of it. And when Israel was given this word, they were actually in captivity in Babylon. They were slaves. Slaves. You all think you got it bad. They were slaves. And then Jesus comes to them and says, I haven't forgotten about you. I'm thinking about you right now. And I love how he says that. He doesn't say, I thought about you. He doesn't say, I thought about you at one time when I created you. He didn't say, hey, John, I created you. Have a good one. Don't mess up anything. And then he doesn't think about us anymore. This verse says Jesus is actively thinking about every single one of us in every single minute of every day. He's thinking about our future. He has things in store for us. And you're like, I know. I've heard that a bunch of times in church, but like, I want to get there. Why am I not there yet? And Jesus is saying, if I gave you all the things that I have for you, it would crush you. You're not mature enough yet. You're still growing. You're still developing into what I have for you. So be patient. Be patient. The God of the universe, he holds it in his hands. He speaks and things get created. Is like he's thinking about you by name and he's saying, you are mine. You're nobody else's. You belong to me. And I have things that I want to do in your life that you can't even fathom. But I need you to walk with me. Let me help you with the future. Let me help you with the present. Forget the past. Psalms 40 verse 5 says this, many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. And your thoughts towards us cannot be counted to you in order. And I love this part right here. But, and it says, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Like, we can count pretty high. I mean, other people can, like scientists and stuff. I mean, I can count up to like 1,000 and stuff. But many are the things that you cannot even number them, are the things he's thinking about you. And they're all good. They're all to prosper. They're all to grow you. They're all to help you. They're all to make you a better person, a better family. Nothing he thinks towards you is bad. That's amazing to me. Jeremiah 29:11, when it talks about those that he's thinking about you, there's a couple different translations, and one of them is an expected end. We can't even think of the end. We don't even know when the end's coming. He does. He knows when it's coming. He knows the work that you have to do before then. I created you to do 15 things, Paul, before you die. I know when you're going to die. I see the expected end. I need you to complete these tasks. That's why I created you. Another version says, a ground of hope. Another one says, things hoped for. And I think we all hope for an amazing future. And in Christ, we can find that. Let's all bow our heads today as we wrap up this message. And I just want to encourage you guys today that maybe you're still fighting some things in the past, or you're confused about the present, or maybe you don't even have a plan for the future yet. It's okay, because God says your story's not over. He's not done with you yet. And maybe you don't have a plan for your life, but God has a plan for your life, and that's good enough for me. But Pastor Paul, I'm a hot mess. Yes, you're still a work in progress. And that's why God gives so much grace and so much mercy and so much love. It says it's new every day. You can't run out of it. God has so much of it for you. And God's still working on finishing who you are. But you have to be patient. Sometimes you have to sit in the presence of God and just listen. Take the world out of it, just sit at his feet and say, God, use me. God, I'm available. God, I'm listening. Don't feel it's over just because you're not where you want to be. If you're alive and breathing, you woke up this morning and you're alive and breathing, God just said, I'm not done with you yet. Amen? If you're breathing, your use isn't done. He's saying, I still have something I need you to do. I still want to love you more. You're awake. You're alive. Enjoy life. But he says, I see. God says, I see the expected end, and it is good. It is good. God still had a future for Paul. God still had a future for the Israelites. And I'm here to tell you today, God has a future for you. Just listen. Sit in his presence. Be faithful to him. Trust him. Truly. Give him your whole heart. Trust in everything. Because the best is yet to come. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you and we say thank you. We thank you for who we are, that we were even created, God. That you have us in a specific place, at a specific walk in our life, in a specific job. And you want to use us. Thank you, God. If you're in here today and you've never met Jesus, you don't know this God that we're speaking about, you don't know this freedom we're speaking about, but you want to. If you want to know who Jesus is, just raise your hand. Because God is thinking about you right now. He's looking down from heaven and he's saying, who else? Who else wants to know me? Who else wants to have a future with me? You can put your hands down. Or maybe the past is still consuming you. The past is still engulfing your life and labels are still attached. And maybe you want a fresh start. You want a fresh start in your life where you can put God first in everything. If that's you, raise your hand and say, it's me, God. God, look down. I'm right here. God, pull these labels off me and put your labels upon me. If you want either of these two things, say this prayer with us. We're all going to say it with you. We've all walked this road before. Dear Heavenly Father, we don't deserve your grace or your mercy. But today I ask for your salvation. I ask you to forgive me of my past and my sins. I want to know you intimately. Come into my heart and change me radically forever. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you've said that for the first time or the third time or the 50th time, let's all just put our hands together for them.